All righty, well, we may be few in number this morning, but I know the others would be here if they weren't sick or, but we need to just remember them on it. We need to continue remembering the church. Also, too, we just need to continue remembering lost also. There's many out here that's lost today. And we need to do what we can. We need to pray for them. I mean, we can do that. If we can't do nothing else, we can pray. Lord, definitely give us something that we can pray for, pray about, because He is the one. He is the just one. I want you to turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. And we'll start with reading with verse 19. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. I believe this is written by the Apostle Paul, but I would not get in an argument with no one about it, because it doesn't have an author to it, but I believe that Paul had a part in writing it. But it says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exalting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I believe the day, you know, the day is approaching. I believe the day is already here. And I believe that it could be any moment. It could be before I get through with this message today. It could be today before I even speak the next verse or read the next verse in the Bible, because I believe it's that close. And it's the approaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I know that we need to hear the trump of God first. And when we do, the faith that we've had in the Word of God, and the faith that we've put in the Lord Jesus Christ, will be a reality. It won't be coming something that we are just looking forward to. It will become a reality. But I want to speak this morning on who needs the church. Who needs the church? We can go back over to the book of Acts, chapter 4, I believe it is. And it will tell us about the church there. It will tell us about So many things that we today are looking for. And we can see right here in chapter 4 in the book of Acts, we can see right here where it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In other words, the lost needs the church. That's the reason the church was established. The church was established because of the lost. It was established because of the danger that people are facing. And that danger that I'm speaking about is a danger of hellfire and brimstone. That is something everyone in the lifetime has faced one way or another. We was going to face that type of death. But until you have experienced the salvation of God, then that doubt or that debt that we were going to have to pay, we don't have to look at that no more. And that's the reason I believe that we can say this morning, who needs the church? The lost needs the church. We are here this morning to where we can be able to grow a little more in God's grace. Where God can bless us through this day and through the services of where we can go. It may not be that many here, but you know something, it don't have to be that many when Lord is in control. Because you go back, that old saying says, little is much when God is in it. Other words, it's just five of us here this morning. But little is much. We have a little crowd this morning. But God is here with us. And that means that we can look at it in a way to where we have so much to look forward to because of the blessings of God. The preaching of the name of Jesus was forbidden. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the men which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them and is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it. We cannot deny who the Lord Jesus Christ is. We cannot deny it. Oh yeah, we at one time we'd come into church and we'd have mess in there, then we may walk straight out. Because the message has not touched our heart. But we still, in that case, we cannot deny the message from the Lord. We cannot deny who Jesus Christ is. Because it's broken people. They're the ones that need the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why? Because they have a broken heart. They have a broken heart. They have a contrite spirit. And they are the ones that are in danger today. This right here, I consider Faith Baptist Church as an emergency room for the weak.
And they are weak. They are weak, but yet we are strong. We are strong. How are we strong? We are strong because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we know Him as our personal Savior. That's where we get our strength from. That's where we get our blessings from. That's where we get the ability to do His work from. It's from the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ is not no myth like a whole lot of people are saying. Hold up, you hear a whole lot of people, they just don't think God even exists because the way they talk. You take an individual that damns God and everything, they don't think God exists. They really don't. They don't think God exists. They don't think God does anything for them, but they have not looked at it the way that we look at it. We know that God blesses each one of them every day with so many blessings, but yet they still want to damn God. Why? Satan is not going to bring a blessing upon them. Satan wants to destroy them. How does he want to destroy them? With the strong drink, with the dope, with the perversions that are going out here. And if that's how Satan wants to destroy them. They're the one that needs the church so they can get away and get out of the grips of the devil. If we're not real careful, we can get in the devil's grip. We can be in bondage. We can be a slave to him. But if I want to be a slave to anybody, I want to be a slave to the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to be no slave to the devil because the devil does not care anything about me. He never has and he never will. But the danger of individuals where the hearts get so hardened that I don't believe a sledgehammer could go in and break that hardening because it's so hard. They're so hard-hearted. They don't have no humility. They don't even have their own family in concern. Why? Because they're hard-hearted. They are hard-hearted deep down in their soul. We have the danger of God's anger. The danger of God's anger upon us and upon them. Yes, great. The Lord Jesus Christ, He is angry today. He's angry at sin. He's angry at what's going on in people's lives. He is angry. And they're missing God's blessing. Look at all of what. How much more can God give them? Like I said earlier, I said that God blesses them. God answers. God doesn't answer their prayer because they cannot pray to God and ask God to answer their prayer. Because it's, for them, it's not but one prayer. And that's the sinner's prayer. But after they pray that sinner's prayer and they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior, then, and only then, they can receive God's blessings. He has us so much more for us. So much more for us. You have a good afternoon. I know.
I really don't want to do this.
I know.
Hopefully it won't be but 3 months.
Hallelujah.
See y'all
in. All righty, you too. But Look at all the blessings that people I hear lose every day. They lose one of the greatest blessings that there is. The greatest blessing, the greatest miracle in their life is where Jesus can save their soul. Where Jesus can snatch them away from the devil. And the devil will not have no more control over them. Oh yeah, the devil's going to try. Oh yeah, he's going to tell you, well, you know, ain't nothing to that salvation now. Have you ever seen God? Have you ever seen Jesus? I haven't seen you either, but I know you exist. Because all the turmoil that we're in, all the dangers that we face every day, we know you exist. And you speaking to me and telling me, have I seen God? Yes, I have seen God. I've seen the Lord Jesus Christ through my spiritual eyesight. He gives us all a spiritual eyesight. He gives me a spiritual ear, the way I can hear him when he speaks with that small, still voice. And when I say small, still voice, I mean his voice is so calm and it's so still. He does not holler at me. He does not rebuke me, but he prays for me. Over there in the book of Luke, chapter 18 or chapter 22, one or the other, I believe it's chapter 22, where it says, I pray for you. The Lord Jesus Christ is there in heaven making intercessions for me. And for you, he's my lawyer. He's my advocate. He's never lost a case. He never will lose a case. Why? Because every case that he's ever took to the Lord Jesus Christ from a Christian that has sinned against him, the Father's always come back and says, what sin are you talking about? I see no sin. Only thing I see is that precious blood that was shed at Calvary. That's the only thing that I see. There's a danger that people are facing today. That they may not have another opportunity. Today may be their last day. They don't have another opportunity to be able to stand and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. If the Lord happened to come back today, and if they didn't go by the grave, and then it did not go by the rapture, then that means that they're still here. But they still are lost. Have no opportunity to get saved. You mean the Lord Jesus won't save them after the rapture, after the catching away, after he done took all his saints home? Nope. Sure can't. Why? Because they've heard the gospel. They have heard the word of God. Peoples went about and told them, and took the word of God to them and told them what they must do. But no, they don't want to heed it no more. They deceive themselves. They say they deceive themselves by what? By the danger of saying in their own heart, I'm young. I got plenty more time. I got plenty more days. I don't have to do it today. Maybe next week I'll come to church next Sunday, and maybe I'll give my heart to the Lord next Sunday. Every minute an individual waits, they're in that danger. They're in a danger zone of getting away and not having an opportunity. That's sad. That is real sad. Where they don't have another opportunity to get saved. You know, I'd love to see people get saved. I'd love to see them. I'd love to be able to take the Word of God and lead them to the Lord. But most of all, I would love to see them saved. Why? Because that will be another one that's been snatched from Satan's grip. Been snatched away from Satan to where they could serve him. Where they could serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Because they're serving a one today that is so deceitful. He is the father of all lies. But here in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 8, it says this: harden not your heart. It is as in the provocation in the days of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works for 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in the heart, and they have not known my way. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, let there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. The danger of our heart. The danger that we are facing. We're facing the same danger that, yes, the people out here are facing. But we're facing the danger where Satan wants to destroy us. Because Satan knows if he can get a hold of us, if he can get a hold of us, if he can hold of me, to where, yes, well, Lord, you know, at church this Sunday, we didn't have a five that Sunday morning. That's what the Lord will do. The Lord will do that to discourage me. And when he discourages us, that's when we need to just dig down a little deeper. And just grab a hold to it and keep on going. But if we don't watch it, we'll harden our hearts. And I believe you harden your heart when you allow Satan to come in and tell you these things. Verse 12, chapter 3 and verse 12 says, take heed, brethren, lest thou be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief
in departing from the living God. If we have any kind of unbelief at all, then we're going to be departing from God. In other words, what I'm saying is that is the danger that people are under today. That is the danger that is outside of these doors, where people are facing every day. They're facing the danger of departing the Lord Jesus Christ. I do not want anyone to die and go to hell. That's not my desire. My desire for them to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Come and have the same concern, the same love that we have in our hearts. Verse 13, but exalt one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through these deceitfulness of sin. We should not do anything that will deceive us. We can be deceived. There are so many today that's in church today that's been deceived. They've been deceived by the man of God, because the man of God is not preaching the truth. The man of God, he's preaching for numbers. He's preaching to get the offering up. He is preaching all the other things I hear to tickle your ears. That's what they're preaching today. Something that will make you feel good. Yes. You can take the Word of God, and the Word of God can make you feel good. It can. But God's Word is the Word of goodness. It's good. It's the Word of mercy. It's the Word of grace. It's a word of long suffering. It's the word of love and peace and joy. But they don't see no peace. They don't see no joy within their heart. Why? How can you tell if someone has any type of joy at all? You can go out here and you can go up the road up here and stop at one of the markets up here. If you stand there long enough, there's going to be somebody's going to come in, they're going to be complaining about something. Anytime an individual complains, that's when everything else will break loose. They don't have the joy. They don't have the peace that only God can give. There's people out here depending on Faith Baptist Church. They are depending on us in keeping the doors open. You say, well, preacher, if they feel that way, why ain't they here? Because they have not come in yet. The Lord Jesus Christ had not convicted the heart yet. And the only way they can ever get saved is by the conviction of the Holy Spirit. They cannot just come in and get saved when they want to get saved. That's what that they've been preached to today. Or you come in, you can get saved today.
Or if you don't get saved today, you can wait till next Sunday. You can come on in next Sunday. You don't know if you've got next Sunday or not. You don't know if you'll ever see next Sunday. You don't even know if you'll see even Sunday, this Sunday evening. But they have to get convicted. That's the only thing that brings about conversion. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit. It takes both of them. And it takes the Holy Spirit to convict an individual's heart. And then it takes the conversion. And it takes the miracle from the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's a miracle that I got saved. It's a miracle that you got saved. That is one of the greatest miracles that I believe that there ever is and ever has been and ever will be. Is a miracle of being able to escape hell and yet enter in to all of heaven. Of all of heaven. Look at her. We can just look up. We can go out here in the middle of the parking lot and we can just look up. If we just look straight up, what we see is what's right there. But we cannot look beyond that. We cannot look at what all heaven has to offer. Why? These eyes cannot take us into the third heavens. There are three heavens. You have the heaven here on earth, and then you have the heaven that is above us in the air. And below the clouds. Then when you get above the clouds, above all the clouds, then you're in the third heavens. And thank the Lord, one day I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven not on nothing I've done. I'm not going because on my righteousness or my merits or anything. The only way that I could ever get into heaven is by what the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ done for me at Calvary. He done the same thing for me as he done for you. He done the same thing for you as he done for me. He saved us to what? While we can go out here and work for him. Well, we can go out here and work for him. I'm working on a message now about the seed. The seed. Do we have the seed in the barn? Is the seed that we have, is it still in the barn? Is it? I'm going to preach it one of these days. I don't know when. If when the Lord allows it. But there are the people today that are depending on me. And they are depending on you. What are they depending on us for? They are depending on us. For the gospel. They're looking at our lives every day. So many people don't even know the Lord. The ones that don't know the Lord have never picked up a book. And we have people even today, we even have Christians that's in church. They don't even pick up a Bible anymore. They don't know what the Word of God says. They don't read it. Why? Because the preacher says, you don't have to bring your Bible to church. We got it right here on the screen. They got it right there on the screen in church. But where is it at in your home? Where is it at in your life, I hear? Can you look up into the sky and read the verse of scripture that you need for that time and that day? No. Why? Because He has given us the Word of God. He's given us His precious Word. Where I don't have to memorize it. Where I don't have to think about if in quoting the verse, if I get every word in there. Because see, the thing about it is, yeah, you can go in and quote the verse, every word in that verse. But think about this though. Where's the comma at? Where's the period at? Where's the question mark at? We can't read that. We just will read and quote the verses. But we don't have the question marks. We don't have the commas. We don't have the colons. We don't have the periods. This right here, the Word of God. It has every word in that verse. And I don't have to worry about leaving out a word. I know sometimes that I do. Sometimes I'm up here reading scripture, and sometimes I mess it up. And I'll misread it. But that's, God says that's the ignorance of man. It says right over here in chapter 4. I'm going to quote this verse. Neither is there salvation in any other. Colon. For there is none other name under heaven given among men. Come. Whereby we must be saved. Period. Whereby we must be saved. Period. That's it. That is what that verse is talking about. Salvation. Whereby we must be saved. Nothing else that we can do. Nothing else that has to be done. Jesus Christ don't have to do anything else. Why? Because he has paid the price. Whereby we must be saved. The dependent. People need to be dependent. We need to have a church where God has given every member of His body a role to focus on. Each one of us has a different duty in doing the Lord's work. Here, some of us, we can just be here just to sit in, just to pray for us. We'll have somebody else to be a leader in the church. We'll have somebody else in the church that will write down the people that's come in or whatever, the role. Then you'll have somebody in the church that will stand up and preach the gospel. Not just give them a lullaby message. Not give them something that they can just have a pacifier on all week. No, a message which will touch their heart. We need people in the church that is teachable, that will listen and not just be come to church and then just start talking all of a sudden among each other and everything while the preacher's up here preaching or reading a message or anything like that. We need to come in and we need to sit down, and when the services start, then that's when we need for our ears to perk up. We need our ears to perk up. Have you ever seen a dog? Have you ever seen a dog out here or any other kind of animal when they are alerted by trouble or whatever, their ears will perk up. Their ears will stand up. Our ears need to be perked up. Why? Because of what we hear.
Who needs the church is the imperfect people. Nobody's perfect. I'm not perfect. I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. I don't claim to be perfect. There's not but one that's perfect. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. But I can mature in the Word of God. I can allow the Word of God to touch me to where I can grow. And I won't be that babe no more on the sincere milk of the Word of God. The way I can take the milk and I got a baby's bottle up here, it's got the nipple on the end of it, I'm just sucking the milk from the bottle all the time. I'm not getting no meat. I'm not getting the nourishment that my body needs. We can't live on just milk all the time. We cannot live on just water all the time. We cannot live on just liquid all the time. We have got to have some kind of food. We've got to have some kind of meat. And I ain't talking about the type of meat that people go out here, go to the store, and they're like a steak or something like that. I'm talking about the meat. I'm talking about the Word of God. I'm speaking about our soul. My soul is in desire of something every day. I have the desire that I need to be filled. I need to be filled. I'm not like some of these people that's got a Volkswagen that can get
40, 30, 40 miles to a gallon. I'm not one of these people that has a motorcycle where I can get 50, 60 miles to a gallon. I'm not one of them. But I need to be filled every day. Why? Because I'm like a four. I'm like that car that has the 427 or the 454 in it. I'm on the go. I want to be on the go at all times. I want to be going here and there. And if you go here and there for the Lord, you're going to need to be refilled. And that's what coming to church does to me. It refills me. Fills me up again. It gives me energy. It gives me strength. And it encourages. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. And Father, we're so thankful, Father, that we don't have to live under the danger of what so many people are living under today. Lord Jesus, because we know, Father, if we take our last breath this day, that we know exactly where we'd be at. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to lose any sleep over it. Because I know that I'll be in the presence of my Lord and my Savior and my Father that is in heaven. And Father, we just want to thank you. Be with us, lead, guide, and direct in everything that we do here at Faith Baptist Church. Father, we ask God that you may just touch Faith Baptist Church. Touch the ones that are coming out. Touch the members here. Give them the desire, Father, that they're in need of. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.